Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm really looking forward to this month's practice focus. In fact, this begins our third session, all talking about value and money. Can you believe this? How we can go so many months talking about the same thing, but each in a very different way, in a way that really helps you. At least it does if you pay attention. It helps you to better engage in the patient's mind about how they see, perceive, and decide on and accept and pay for and progress forward with their treatment. Now, I'm really excited about today because you've been doing an incredible job engaging in the past couple months practice focuses and really taking so seriously the impact you can have on your patient's decisions before money or insurance is ever presented and hopefully ever talked about. Secondly, because you are now so ready to get into much greater detail and what I would call nuances when it comes to how to overcome the common objections that patients give you as the reason and excuse to delay. The third reason I can't wait to talk about this month's practice focus is because no matter how much you do to influence and educate your patients, if we don't control the conversation at the end about the money and or the insurance, then everything else can unravel. And worst of all, the patient can delay or deny themselves of the powerful and life-changing benefits of what you can do for them. Therefore, today, we dive straight in to the best and most successful ways to deal with objections. Now, I want to quickly review, because today is pretty straightforward. We're going to cut to the chase, as they say. Get to the point. But before we do that, let's review. There are three critical pieces to setting you up to deal with objections in the first place. You hear me? Very carefully. Three critical pieces to help you deal with objections. That means before they ever happen or in the first place. The first one is the clinical creation and establishing and illustrating the proof. Now, I know you remember from the very first time we were ever together, pictures, proof, and pain, the very first phone discussion we ever had, show the patient the big picture. And yet and still, we should rethink about this again and again and again. The way a basketball player practices dribbling, okay, or any a runner runs, it doesn't make any difference. Okay, you brush your teeth and eat every day, take a bath maybe once in a while. Okay, you must understand that the clinical creation is the muscle that never stops being worked. The clinical creation is the key component of the value build of everything that happens inside of the practice. Now, being great on the phone, setting the expectations, sharing about how different your practice is by way of showcasing your mission, your passion, your purpose for your patients, okay, all these things, being nice and friendly, going and getting the water instead of telling the person there's the water, okay, all the little details, they all matter. But when it comes down to the patient's belief that the treatment is necessary, relevant, important for them specifically, them as an individual, it boils down to the establishing and illustration of proof and the clinical creation. This, above all else, and I know we put a lot of pressure on our clinical team, but you know what? You can make the magic happen. The value build in the operatory. If you go back to our role-playing modules, if you go back to any of the practice focuses leading up to this moment, you understand the significance behind making certain that the patient in the operatory is totally dialed into the experience and that you are doing everything possible to move that patient to a culminating point of their decision to move forward because of the benefits they're going to receive. Which leads me to the second critical piece, which is what I call the building value and the desire, the value and the desire of the benefits and outcomes or the avoidance of the consequences. Okay, so again, remember, it's the two sides to the same coins. You know, my grandfather used to always say, heads I win and tails you lose. You understand? Okay, so with the patient, we have the same coin. It doesn't matter which side they flip up. they're still going to move forward to treatment if you handle it properly. So the first side is building the value and the desire. Will you please listen to the word, desire? What do you desire in your life right now? Maybe more sleep, maybe some exercise, maybe money. Everybody has some desire. We want the patient to desire the outcome and the benefit of the treatment. Way too much time spent talking clinically instead of talking about the advantages for the patient. Now, at the same component of this, I'm talking about building value and the desire of the avoidance, of the avoidance of the consequences. Now listen, I actually never put these words in one sentence before. You want to build the value of what it would mean for the patient to avoid a certain type of consequence. Now we call the outcome that's a negative a consequence, right? We call the outcome that's positive a benefit, advantage or disadvantage. So your dialogue and discussion with the patient clinically in the operatory must shift from, you know, teeth and gums and mouth and all the dental and oral things, shift to the value and the desire for the patient to either enjoy and benefit from the advantage of the outcome or to suffer, okay, to fail, to have pain or some loss of the consequence. Okay? And no matter which one they value, they will still be able to move forward with the treatment. Remember, in their mind first, they have to move forward. The third piece is strongly maintaining the positioning of how you approach patient care and health and whatever you do, airway, smile, you know, anything, and your expectations of your patients when it comes to money or insurance. Now, that's where we're going to move forward here in our conversation today, and it's so critical. What can I say? It's so critical that you understand this last one. This is about maintaining strong positioning about how you, doctor team, practice as a whole, expect your patients to behave, to make decisions, to get healthy, that by being in your practice, they have a commitment to do so. Very important you're not bashful about that. Now, the last one is very tricky. I want to talk a little bit more about it because this is where everyone must be on the same page on how you handle things and what is said when money or insurance is brought up. As I always say, the first way to solve a problem is to prevent it. Therefore, if we're going to handle objections strongly at the end, if they come up, we must be consistent and congruent with them all throughout the process. So, I want you to remember these. Number one, you can confidently deflect to what matters most and bypass the money. We confidently deflect by saying, patient, listen, this is not important for us to be talking about money and insurance because we're supposed to be talking about your health. We can deflect. You can use my magic sense and say, oh, you know, listen, I understand why you ask it. I have such great news for you. Hey, at our practice here, it's about you. Hey, we don't care about insurance. Or at our practice, we decided a long time ago we weren't going to let money stand in the way of helping you achieve your goals. It's so beautiful, isn't it? The second thing is you can confidently emphasize your premise of health-based decisions. See, patient, listen, what we know is that no matter what the investment's going to be, no matter how much or how little insurance is going to contribute, that we are committed to you achieving optimal health. That's what our practice is about. And our 100% dedication to you to make sure that you don't do without. You don't settle for less than something that you don't deserve. And you deserve all the benefits that we're talking about today, and we're going to make it happen. Now, the key point is confidently deflect and confidently emphasize. They deflect away from their topic areas and then re-emphasize your focus on how you want them to make decisions. And the third one, which is really my favorite one, I think the easiest one to do, is to confidently state the truth very clearly, related back to whatever they ask or said. So, for example, we say, patient, listen, I'm not sure why you would think of this insurance covering the kind of treatment we're discussing here today. Insurance is basically maintenance money. We want you to be very healthy, utilize all the insurance you can. But basically, you get a couple cleanings a year, it fixes a broken crown, and if you have some emergency. Today, we're talking about optimal health here. We're not talking about just Band-Aids and patching tires. And we want to get you back to a state of ideal. So we say, of course, insurance is not going to cover this. So, well, patient, yes, you're going to be making an investment. I wouldn't worry right now what it is because we don't even know what the treatment is going to be. Right now what we need to understand is what are your goals and what are you committed to? You see how I inserted the truth-telling in there but then laid it back on the patient? So, again, remember, confidently deflect away from what they're dealing with in their minds, confidently emphasize what you want them to be focused on, and confidently state the truth. Now, you don't necessarily do those three all at once. Okay, you're using them. Okay, it's like you got cards in your hand, you're dealing the card that's appropriate based on your patient interaction. But that's what I mean about maintaining the strong positioning of what your expectations are for your patients. Do not pander to them. As I always say, it's not a restaurant. It's certainly not McDonald's, okay? The patient doesn't pick off the menu. You're supposed to be a guide in their health, setting forth the authorities. They are going to be a member of the team, a part of this process. So critical. The bigger issue of money or insurance is self-created by the doctor and the team when things are ignored or justified or bashfully or apologetically talked about. You really got to listen to that again, okay? More often than not, okay, money or insurance is made a bigger issue by all of you because we either ignore or justify, we're either bashful or apologetic about the situation, instead of being confident and following those three very powerful points that I just outlined. This is your very first and very important role play activity for today. Now, I want you to assume, okay, because of all the dedicated work you've done the past 2 months, you are building so much more value, and your patients aren't even concerned about money and insurance, and they are just fired up to move forward. Okay? But in order to get to that point, I want you to practice. I want you to practice all of these aspects and go back for each team member, their discussion wherever insurance or money is brought up, whether that's the phone, okay, whether that's in the operatory, whether that's in the interview, whether that's when the doctor walks in, whether it's during the treatment presentation. I first want you to go back and practice and really hone in on when the words are engaged, when the money or insurance is thrown in your face, how are you going to handle it? And everybody must be on the same page. I want you practicing back and forth based on your role and engagement in the practice and what you experience patients saying. I want you to be armed with the three power sentences that I just outlined for you. And I really want you to embrace them and make sure that everyone in the practice is speaking the same language and is really on the same page when it comes to this. Now, if at the end they do bring it up, we want to focus on the four most important ways of handling it. So we're flipping now towards the end where we're dealing with the, you know, hand-to-hand combat and getting the money, decision, and schedule. Okay? Number one, you must follow my presentation structure. I'm telling you, you're crazy if you don't. Pictures, draw circles, point out T's, lay out investment to get healthy. If you're talking about insurance, you're just using it as a one line. You go right to their investment portions and you ask for them to make the payment today. It's not a request. This is what the total is going to be. Hey, let's decide how you want to take care of it. You can use check or credit card, and then we'll get everything scheduled and you'll be ready to go. You must follow presentation structure. They say, I can't afford it. You say, would you help me understand? What do you mean by that? Hey, what can I do? I'm here to help. Give me an idea of what you can afford. Great. Let's take that money off the top. Now we have this left. Tell me what you'd like to see happen with the rest of it. You have to work through it. We have videos, trainings, help, support. If your new team member is doing the money, your other team members should know. But you really got to commit to the presentation structure. I'm telling you, it's there for a reason. And secondly, you want to ask clarification. Okay? This is so important. Ask clarification. This is very huge in making the patient justify themselves instead of you trying to justify the fee or investment. Now, can you please listen carefully? I'm telling you, to make the patient justify their statement instead of you justify it. So if somebody gives you an objection, you immediately ask a question. If they're talking about money, you say, please help me understand, what do you mean by that? Then we want to think about it. What exactly would you like to think about? I'm just curious to know. Well, it seems like maybe something is unclear from what we've discussed. Could you tell me more about what you're saying? You always keep going, right? Very important. Do not fall into the trap of responding to their objection in a justification way. The third, you want to reinforce the reason why and the value. You want to reinforce the reason why and the value. Now, that's pretty obvious. You know how to do that. Okay? We're looping back to what I talked about at the very beginning, that the patient must have achieved in their mind a value and desire of either avoiding the consequence or receiving the benefit. You must make sure that's established. That's why presenting treatment to the patient that's not committed, that doesn't even believe in any of it yet, is a pointless. It's a waste of time, because it's really about first committing in the operatory, the clinical, yes, as we all know, you know, how to do this. Now, there are two important tips that I want to drive home. First, you have to believe. You have to believe in the value. If you do, then it should be easy. So anybody there right now, sitting in the room, if you're questioning your fees, did you charge for the treatments? If you are unsure about a person who they need something or they don't need something, listen, you got to get clear on the value you provide. You have to trust in each other. Buy into the doctor's vision and clinical philosophies. Now, I assume you do, but you know what? If you did even more, you could handle money and insurance much easier. Your confidence would grow patient by patient, day by day. If you felt more value and you were compelled to help that patient receive it, your commitment is more important than the patient's. The second thing is, please know, no patient is buying the dentistry. They are buying the end result of it. Please, nobody wants to buy dentistry. How many of you want to sit in a dental chair and you want to get drilled on? Any volunteers? So just understand, we love dentistry. We're all here together because of it. Nonetheless, the patient, they don't live in the office like you do, right? So it's very important we're not putting the focus on the procedure and the dentistry, the clinical aspect, what I call the in-between. A problem, possibility, in-between dentistry. No, we want to focus on the outcome, the result, the benefit, again, avoidance of consequence, not how we're getting there. Now, I know that's tough, but it's ever important. I could walk you through all the big ones again, but we have done that. In money, insurance, spouse delay, all the objections. I've given all of those to you many times before. And what I believe is more important than me talking to you and practicing is you doing it yourself. Okay, that's far more important. You want to talk to each other, practice, and hone in on your role plays. You are armed with more resources, strategies, communication skills, and knowledge, and above all else, confidence than ever before, right now in this moment. And so now it's time to put it all together with each other, with you, helping each other build your comfort level with learning to provide a little bit more tough love to your patients, and in general, getting better about assuming positive outcomes. Your expectation and assumption of positive outcomes and preventing objections by doing everything we've been working on. Now, please practice by dividing into tag teams and going back and forth, walking through the common things patients say, and just let loose and continue to hone your ability to respond quickly, proactively, confidently. Okay? Three key words: quickly, proactively, confidently. Then come back together and share and do it again as a big group and look at every team member's perspective and go through at any point in your experience, whether it's the phone, hygiene, assistant, doctor, business team, doesn't matter, and deal with the money insurance just like you would if a patient was with you. This is the key. Role play this out. Practice. This is what you have to do. It's like passing back and forth This is the key. This is the basics. The most valuable thing you could ever do is deal with this and build your confidence and your comfort level of engaging the patients, is so that it doesn't feel, you know, awkward. Okay, so it doesn't feel awkward, and so you're not justifying. You probably should go back and listen to this all over again, because there's very important sentences that I've given you, very important topics that you need to really master if you're going to do it right. Remember, as I always say, more treatment walks out the door, okay, than stays in the practice. And so this is how we put up the defense mechanisms to help more patients get healthy faster. Now, finally, your team activity this month is very simple and very profound. I want you to talk about and share your feelings about how you value dentistry and why you feel it is important for your patients. If you have any hesitations or discomfort, get it out in the open. It's the only way. If you want to, quote, sell each other on why your patients should value you and what you do and happily and willingly pay for your care and expertise and services, tell your dental story. Share your passions. Bring up a patient that you remember. Whatever. But let's listen. This is a little love fest about dentistry. That's what we need right here. You must build your value and your confidence in it first if you're going to be the ones to build the value and confidence in the patients to get more yeses and help more people. Remember, what patients are really paying for is not what they or you often think. Okay? It's not what they or you often think. Something much deeper. This keeps our theme moving forward, and it's critical that you value yourselves and what you do first, and the patient's health and outcomes, and you feel comfortable with money and their investment. This is a huge emotional breakthrough that leads to more confidence, greater positive energy, and a general attitude and feeling in your practice that will be an attraction for case acceptance and yours and your patient's success. I can promise you that. Until next month, let's help patients and get paid and feel great about it and deserving every single day, because you are. Now get to work.